I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Black magic, theft, grave digging and gruesome crimes. Some of our most famous classical composers led very dark and interesting lives. It certainly wasn't all powdered wigs and harpsichord recitals for genteel society. Case Notes is an award-winning true crime podcast finding the compelling stories in classical music's past. Like whatever happened to Haydn's head after his funeral.
Vienna, 1820. There's a wintry chill in the air, though it's only October. In a graveyard just outside the city centre, a small crowd shivers. They're gathered around the grave of the famous composer, Joseph Haydn. He died 10 years earlier, but only now his employer, Prince Esterhazy, wants to give him the funeral he deserves. A grand marble tomb has been prepared nearby. All they need now is the body of the great composer. Gravediggers bring the coffin to the surface while the crowd watches and leans in. The wooden lid opens. The prince peers inside. But something isn't right. Haydn's body is in the grave. But it's just his body. The head is missing. And in its place is an empty powdered wig. Suddenly, the scene is abuzz with activity and questions. Who had taken the famous composer's head? What could they have wanted with it? And why leave the rest of his decaying body behind? This is Case Notes, a podcast investigating music's darkest mysteries from Classic FM. I'm Tim Lioro. In this episode, the gruesome story of Haydn's missing head. The late 1700s were a time of great change in Europe. The Napoleonic Wars are on the horizon, and now a revolution of a different kind is taking place. It's known as the Age of Enlightenment. New discoveries in science and the arts are changing how people view the world. And thinkers like Voltaire and Rousseau are revolutionizing philosophy. Authors, poets, and artists sit in coffee houses across the continent debating new ideas, and Austria is no exception. It's the capital of the vast Habsburg Empire, a realm that stretches from the modern countries of Poland to the Ukraine. It's a world centre for philosophy, science, and music. And composer Joseph Haydn is one of the most celebrated musicians of the time. Like the philosophers and thinkers that surrounded him, Haydn was asking fundamental questions about life. But he was asking them through his music.
Well, I think The Creation particularly is a remarkable work.
Catherine Bott is a singer and Classic FM presenter.
Everyone was a creationist then. So the idea that God created the world in 7 days was completely matter-of-fact to Haydn's generation. And I do think that in the face of the extraordinary achievement of creating the heaven and the earth and the animals and the insects and plant life and everything, even up to Adam and Eve, why shouldn't we be absolutely overawed and raise a sort of innocent hymn of praise? I think it's very affecting, that. But there are also witty touches. There are descriptions of the beasts being created, the buzzing of the bees and the worm. And nothing more so than the very beginning, which is chaos. Before God said, "Let there be light," and there was. You get this representation of chaos in the orchestra, which is all over the place. It's a mess. It's meant to be a mess. Genius of Haydn. It's all disharmonious and quite scary. And you imagine the void. In the beginning, and God said. Let there be light. And there was. And the chorus comes in, major chord, timpani, rumble thump, light! And it still really makes the shivers go down your spine, even today, and you imagine the effect it must have had at the end of the 18th century.
Und Gott sah das Licht, dass es gut war. Und Gott schied das Licht von der Finsternis.
Haydn is so celebrated that he's been snapped up by the powerful Prince Nikolaus Esterházy.
He was quite a catch, you know. I've got Joseph Haydn as my court composer. Who have you got? Oh, well, I'm sure he's very nice.
And obviously people recognised a certain extraordinary talent.
Here's Professor Eric Levy.
I'm lecturer in music. Professor Eric Levy, I suppose that's enough, isn't it? He became, first of all, a vice-kapellmeister to the court of the Esterházy, which was a very rich Hungarian noble family who lived way away from Vienna. He had this marvellous orchestra. He attracted some amazing musicians. Musicians travelled freely, so there were Italians and Germans and French people in the court, and he could secure with the right sort of tempting employment prospects at the best players. And he was given the opportunity, really, to experiment with the orchestra in a way that many other composers at that time didn't have that opportunity.
While Haydn's working at the Esterházy court, he meets Joseph Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum has the rather grand title of Controller of Stabling Accounts. He holds the purse strings in the Esterházy household. The pair become friends, and through Haydn, Rosenbaum meets the beautiful singer Teresa Gassmann and falls instantly in love. She's one of the best sopranos of the day. In fact, she's the soprano who sang the role of the Queen of the Night in an early performance of Mozart's The Magic Flute. They want to marry, but for that, Rosenbaum needs the prince's blessing. There are obstacles at every turn. Teresa's mother hates the idea of her daughter marrying him, and she tries everything to block the marriage.
Oh,
Rosenbaum records it all in his diary.
A most unpleasant day, of which there are so many in the course of my life. I asked him on his way down the stairs for his permission to marry. The prince was gracious, but could not quite make up his mind to permit it, and instructed me to submit my request in writing. I will be reassured if this disagreeable business does not have evil consequences for me in the future.
Haydn feels sorry for his friend. He offers to speak to the prince, to argue Rosenbaum's case.
Saturday, I worked with great diligence from 6 a.m. until 2 in the afternoon. Later, I went to see Therese and learned that they had been at Haydn's. He had said many nice things about me. I also visited Haydn and talked to his wife until he came home. I told him at great length about my love for Therese and my desire to marry her, and implored him to help in any way he can. He faithfully promised to do so.
Despite Haydn's efforts, Rosenbaum's worst fears are realized. The prince refuses to give him his blessing.
Part of Haydn's Missing Head from Case Notes, hosted by Tim Leroux for Classic FM. And Case Notes recently won the award for Best True Crime Podcast at the British Podcast Awards.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.